We sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We sing praises to your name. Oh Lord, praises to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. We sing glory to your name. Oh Lord, glory to your name. Oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised.
Hallelujah. Amen, church. God is good. This morning, I give honor to our Heavenly Father, and I thank Him for bringing us safely through yet another week, for giving me strength in my body. I thank Him for His abundance of blessings. God is so good, church, and I don't know if you realize that, how good God really is. If you ever need a reason to really thank and praise God, just take a deep breath. Amen. That is reason enough, amen, to give God some praise. As the scripture we quote at the beginning of service, let everything that hath breath,
hallelujah,
praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise ye the Lord. Amen. You know, I was studying a passage of scripture for a little while now, and I had been writing down some notes and preparing a message, and at about 5 o'clock this morning, the Lord kind of dropped something in my spirit, and something that I've touched on in the past at Zion Salsa Praise in Hilo, but it's a word that I believe is a timely word, a word that if we would all embrace, God will begin to do great things in our lives. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the New Testament book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 7 through 14. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. Still hear some pages turning, so we'll wait a little longer. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. God, it say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shall we rise for the reading of the word? It reads as thus from the King James: But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, hallelujah, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. Father, we would ask that you would just move upon us here in this sanctuary, O God. We pray, O Lord, that your presence, Father, would be so thick in this place, Lord, that you would saturate us in your anointing, Father. Lord, that as your word goes forth, Father God, Lord, that we would fall on ground that has been tilled for the planting of the seed of your word, Lord. Prepare every heart, prepare every mind. Give us all an ear to hear what thus saith the Lord this morning. Father, touch my lips and my tongue. Anoint this lump of clay. Empower it to do your will this morning, Father. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you all the honor in Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The title of the word this morning, three little words that carry a big message. Let it go. Amen. Let it go. The longer you hold on to something, it begins to hurt. You try go shopping with your significant other, especially if she is one wahine. And they go into one store and get a bag, and go into another store and here comes another bag, and another store and another bag, and so on and so forth until both of your hands are quite full. And if you like me, sometimes you like carry them all in one hand because you like at least have one hand free just in case. Yeah. But the more you carry it, the more you walk with it, you come to realize, oh, hand coming a little bit sore. So now you switch over to this hand. You carry them for a little while in that hand. Wow, hand sore, gotta move it over to this hand. When you're carrying things from one place to another, the more stuff that you have to carry, the more weight your muscles need to endure, and this causes your muscles to then fatigue much faster and burn out until all your strength is gone and you end up not being able to reach the place that you are trying to get to because no more nothing left in the tank. See, carrying too much weight, church, causes pain. Yeah. Carrying too much weight causes pain. Haoli might know something about that. Look at him, a nice big and muscular guy. And in the gym, when you're lifting weights, the next day, the more weight you carry, the more sore you become. See, but the funny thing is, we know that it causes pain, but we're too stubborn, we're too hard-headed, po'opa kiki. We don't want to let stuff go. Amen. Tell somebody, let it go.
Let it go.
Amen. Now, if you're also like me, when we continue to go to the grocery store, Once we get home from the grocery store, I really don't care how much groceries get. This is in the days of plastic bags. And I refuse to make two trips to the car. I will carry all groceries, all bags in the house in one trip. I don't care how much canned goods get. I don't care how much it get, bag rice, gallon milk. However heavy it is, I'm going to carry all the groceries in one time, one trip, one speed. Amen. But then, as I'm approaching the front door, walking up the steps, ooh, the leg starts to get a little shaky. My hands and forearms begin to cramp. I begin to lose my strength. And what ends up happening is I need to put some stuff down. Amen. I gotta let some stuff go so that I can make it up the stairs and into the house. Amen. Tell somebody else, let it go. You know, when we hold on to stuff, as I said, it'll cause some pain. It'll cause some hurt. Sometimes we hold on to jobs that we shouldn't be holding on to. Sometimes people hold on to dead relationships that they shouldn't be holding on to. A relationship that is not founded upon the chief cornerstone. Amen. That firm and that sure foundation that is Jesus Christ. Sometimes we hold on to toxic friendships. We hang around people who we ought not to be hanging around. Yeah. We hold on to friendships where negativity reigns. Oh, yeah. Everything is negative. The way they think is negative. The way they talk is negative. The way they act is negative. And if you're not careful, that negativity will then rub off on you. Compromising who you are as a man or woman of God, all because of our inability to let stuff go. Somebody say, let it go. Amen. The more you hold on to negativity, the more negative you become. The more you hold on to unrighteousness, the more unrighteous you become. The more you hold on to sin, the more sinful you become. But we got to learn to let stuff go. See, but God cannot move and God cannot work in someone that is holding on to all of this unnecessary weight. People who hold on to stuff, they may come to church and they may wonder why. Oh man, why is stuff not happening for me? I don't understand why are things happening for brother so and so and for sister so and so, and not happening for me. I don't understand. I show up to Monday night Bible study. I show up to Friday night prayer service. I'm there early every Sunday. Yet I see other people growing while I remain stagnant. While I remain the same. And little do people know is because we're holding on to the weight of our past.
Let it go.
Which is preventing us from attaining our future in Christ Jesus. But the Lord has a word for you this morning, church, and that is to let it go. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul says in verse 7 of our text this morning, but what things were gain to me, What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. See, so sometimes it's not just the negative thinking, it's not just the negative people, and it's not just the usual things that maybe society will attribute to negativity, or even maybe not the usual things that Christians would attribute to unrighteousness and sinfulness, but sometimes it's even those things which were gain to us that we need to let go of. See, church, everything that we have accomplished, whatever titles you may have gained over the years, your high-paying job, big bank account, material possessions, your position of influence, all of these things are worthless when compared to knowing Christ.
Amen.
They are worthless when compared to knowing Christ. Because you see, without Christ, you wouldn't have that job. Without Christ, you wouldn't have that big bank account. Without Christ, you wouldn't have these material possessions. But too often, we find people who fall in love with the gift and not the giver. They fall in love with the gift and not the giver. They take pride in the gift, which then causes them to think that they can now take credit for the gift. Oh, help us, Jesus. Oh, I would sacrifice this, that's why I get that. I worked hard, that's why I gained this. I believed in myself, that's why I accomplished that. Everything is me, 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 and I, self, self, self. But yet, over and over throughout the Word, Jesus says to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily and follow Him. See, church, we need to let go of self.
Yeah.
We need to let go of self. Take ourselves out of first place and put God there where He belongs. Because I promise you, when God takes first place, everything else will fall into place. But we need to let go of self. We need to let go of selfish wants. We need to let go of selfish desires. Jesus Himself said it best. He said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." Not my will, but thine be done. Church, we need to come to the point where we say that we are able to let go of our plans, where we can let go of our ways, when we can give up our will. Because let me tell you that God's plans are greater.
Amen.
His ways are greater. His will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect.
Amen.
It's perfect. Let it go. Amen. Let it go. Paul goes on to say in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss." I count all things but loss for what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You see, your relationship with Christ is much more important than anything else, church. Your relationship with Christ should trump all other things. And it should be our ultimate goal to know Him, to want to know Him. But in order for us to know Him, we need to deny ourselves. We need to deny ourselves. We need to count some things as loss We need to count them as dung so that we might win Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, the Bible does not say, seek ye first power. The Bible does not say, seek ye first wealth. It doesn't say, seek ye first position or popularity. You know, it doesn't even say to seek ye first church. But it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why? So that all these things may be added unto you. But people tend to forget that second part of that scripture. All is righteousness. They like to remember the first part. Oh, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this translates in their head as, okay, I'm going to go to church then on Sunday and I'll be good. I'll go and I'll show face at the worship service and that'll give me an out to live any old way for the rest of the week. I'm good. I believe that there is a God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe. And that's enough for me. But James chapter 2, verse 20, says that thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is?
Amen.
Amen. So to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness means that we are doers of the word. And not just a hearer. That means that we put into practice what is taught and preached from the pulpit. We have an active prayer life. We have our own personal study of the Word of God. We have a relationship with God because we let go of self, we let go of pride, and just as pride goes before a fall, humility goes before a rise. Hallelujah. Somebody put that on Facebook. Amen. God said in His Word, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, He says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But in order for this to take place, church, we need to let stuff go. Oh, somebody say, let it go.
Let it go.
Thank you, Lord. Verse 9 says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God, by faith. Now, because we let go of that inferior brand of righteousness, which is really no righteousness at all, but it's called self-righteousness, it opens us up to receive true, genuine righteousness, which comes only by faith in Jesus Christ. See, we no longer walk according to the world's standards. We no longer go along with what society says is right and what society says is wrong. We don't walk by these standards, but instead we walk by faith.
Yeah.
And not by sight.
Yeah.
We understand that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So when the tough times come, when trials and tribulations come, rather than worry and rather than doubt and rather than being afraid, rather than saying, oh no, What am I going to do now? How am I going to get out of this mess? What can I do? Get down on your knees.
Yeah.
And put your faith in Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that we can ask or think. Hallelujah. Lord, You provided Your children with manna in the desert. So I know You can provide for my need.
Yeah.
You made the blind to see. You've opened deaf ears. You've caused the lame to walk. You've even raised the dead. So I know that You can heal my affliction. I know that You are able to do it. Lord, You protected Daniel in the lion's den. So when I'm encompassed about by all mine enemies, I know that You are able to deliver me. And You are able to protect me. Because I know what You've done in Your word. I can't do it on my own, Lord. I can do nothing. I am nothing apart from You. I need You to do it, Father. And we need to come to that point, church, where instead of worrying and doubting and being afraid, we can get our praise on because we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. See, church, the purpose again is to know Him.
Yeah.
It's to know Him more deeply and more intimately. Perceiving, recognizing, and understanding the wonders of His person. Who He really is. Not knowing of Him, but truly knowing Him. You see, because a lot of people who claim to know Christ don't really know Christ. Yeah. They claim to know Christ, but instead of knowing Him, they merely know of Him. Again, James chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If you claim to know and love God, and yet do the things of the world, you don't know Him. You just know of Him.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. You only know of Him. But you haven't been so low. You haven't learned what it's like to live in a world of darkness and just utter chaos where nothing seems to be going your way. Where you look for joy in all the wrong places and look for love and satisfaction in all the wrong places, to turn to every vice of the enemy to try and fill this void that you have in your heart, to find some way, any way of dealing with all the anger and the hate and the spitefulness and the sadness and the weight of our past. And yet one day on our Damascus road, we saw a great light that knocked us off our beast. Hallelujah. The light of the world showed up. And church, when the light of the world shows up, darkness has to flee.
Yes.
Darkness has no choice but to flee. Darkness, by its very definition, is the absence of light.
Yes.
And yet the Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The Bible also says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you read down to the 14th verse in that same chapter, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What that means is that when Jesus comes on the scene, He brings the light of God with Him, and the darkness is expelled.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. In Him we find perfect peace, a peace that this world cannot give, a peace that passes all understanding. You can be going through such a great and tough trial, but when people see you walking around with just this peace about you, it's like, oh man, why are you not losing your mind? Why are you not flipping your lid? I would have done this and I would have done that. They can't understand it because they don't have this peace that the world cannot give. In Him we find joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Him we find a perfect love, a never failing love, an undying love, an unending love. The song says God's love is like a circle.
Yes.
Amen. A circle big and round. And when you see a circle, no ending can be found. And so the love of Jesus goes on eternally, forever and forever. I know that He loves me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He said to cast your burdens, cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. I can't speak for anybody else, but I can only speak of what He's done for me. I can only speak of what He's brought me from, what He's taken me out of, what He's brought me through, amen, what He saved me from, amen. So I can't help but praise God because I know that He's my deliverer. I know that He's my provider. I know that He's my healer. I know that He's my God because He's shown up for me time and time again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You can't help but praise God. You can't help but worship Him when you experience the fullness of His glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Yes.
Amen. God is so good, church.
Yes.
God is so good. And He wants us to experience so much more of Him.
Yes.
He wants us to experience so much more of Him. And how do we do that? Amen. The Bible says to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. To abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You know these words, dwell and abide? They're used to explain remaining in one area. Staying in one spot. Not just jumping in, getting into it when I feel like it, and when I start to feel good, jump back out. It's not about just showing up on Sunday mornings, not just getting into the secret place on Sunday and getting back out again once you go home that afternoon, but to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, is to constantly get into the presence of God and to stay there. To stay there, church. See, that's where the anointing comes. When you spend time in the secret place. It doesn't just come by preaching and singing and doing all this other works unto the Lord. But it comes when you spend that one-on-one time. That one-on-one time with the Father. Behind closed doors. When nobody can see. Easier for praise God and shout and dance when everybody looking. But when we go home behind closed doors, when nobody looking, that's where it comes.
Yes.
That's where it comes. But we need to develop that desire to want to know Him more and more. That's what I want, church.
Hallelujah.
That's my desire. To know Him more and more. And in the same way, come to know the power of His resurrection and to share in the fellowship of His sufferings. Yeah. But again, we like experience the power of His resurrection, but not share in the fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, Lord, help us. But we cannot know the fellowship of His sufferings or the power of His resurrection if we are not first made conformable to His death. Hallelujah. In order for us to walk in newness of life, amen. In order for us to walk in newness of life, we must first die to self. We must first die to the flesh. Crucify the flesh. See, there cannot be a resurrection if there is not first a death. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. There cannot be a resurrection if there is not first a death. So crucify the flesh. Put to death the sinful old nature, the old man. Let him go and experience the resurrection power and put on the new man. Amen. Put off the old man and put on the new. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. That same power has been made available to us to live a life that is worthy of Him who gave His life. Amen. A ransom for many. Yeah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Yeah. Hallelujah. And what gives us the strength to continue on living for Him is when we know the fellowship of His sufferings. Jesus said, as we often read every first Sunday, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Jesus said, this do in remembrance. In remembrance of me. Remember, church, what He did for us on the cross of Calvary. Remember what He did for us. When you feel like you can't go on, when you feel like things are just closing in about you, where you feel like there's just no way out and you feel like you're in over your head, remember Calvary. Remember Calvary. Hallelujah. Remember the nails. Remember the stripes upon His back. Remember the crown of thorns. You know, this crown of thorns here is a replica of the crown that Jesus wore. You see how long those nails are? And this crown doesn't even pay the crown that He wore justice. It was much worse than that. One theologian says there were 72 thorns. 72 thorns. Those thorns there are about 2 inches long. 72 of them. Forced down around His head. Remember the crown. Remember the spear that pierced His side. Remember that it was love that kept Jesus on the cross. It was His love for us why He died. But praise God that the story doesn't end there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because He rose from the dead on the third day. He ascended into heaven where He now sits at the right hand of the Father. Where He makes intercession for you and I, holding the keys of death and hell. He opened up the way, church, to eternal life. He opened up the way. Yeah. Hallelujah. We only need to reach out. Reach out and claim it. But if your hands are too full, holding on to unnecessary things, You won't have room to receive what God has for you. Because you're too busy holding on. Too busy holding on. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul is saying, I'm not telling you these things because I'm perfect. I'm not. Your pastors aren't called to the position of pastorship because we're perfect. We're not. When you give your life to Jesus, when you accept Him as your Lord and your Savior, that doesn't mean that you're perfect. You're not. But Paul goes on to say, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, I'm not perfect, but I strive toward perfection. See, too many people today use the phrase, nobody perfect, as an excuse to cling and hold on to imperfection. Right. No need drink already. Enough drink. Quit. Why? Nobody perfect. No need smoke cigarette already. No good. No good, that kind of stuff. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Why? Nobody perfect. Right, Asian. Church start 9 o'clock, bro. We would love to have you for come church. Why? Nobody in there perfect. Oh, boy. Whew. The Bible even says that there is none righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. The Bible says. But we don't use that as an excuse to settle for unrighteousness and imperfection. We don't use that as an excuse to hold on to who we were in the past, doing the same old things that we did when we were in the world. We don't use that as an excuse. Amen. But instead, we reach for righteousness. We reach for perfection by reaching for Him who is righteous and reaching for Him who is perfect. Yeah. Amen. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting, hallelujah, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Amen. So now I'm forgetting all the lies. I'm forgetting all the hurt. I'm forgetting all the pain. I'm forgetting all the unforgiveness. I'm forgetting the person I used to be, the things I used to do, my old way of thinking, my old way of speaking. I'm forgetting those things. I'm forgetting people and situations and environments that are behind me so that I might reach unto those things which are before me. I'm letting go of all these things so that my hands might be free to reach toward that which is before me. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to reach toward my future in Christ Jesus. Amen. And you know, I am not so proud as to say that I have not done anything that was not right in the sight of God. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of thinking things, saying things, doing things that were not right in the sight of God. But now that my hope is in Christ Jesus, I know that I'm forgiven. I know that I'm forgiven. I can let go of past guilt
and look forward to who I will become in Christ Jesus. When Paul says, I count not myself to apprehended, that's Paul, the greatest apostle, saying, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. This is Kavika saying, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But I reach. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But I strive. But I press to get there. Hallelujah. I look forward to who I will become. Because God's still working on me.
Yeah.
Amen. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. He's still working on us, church.
Yes,
but we can look forward to who we will become in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Church, I want you to know something. You're going to need to press.
Amen.
You're going to need to press toward the mark. You're going to need to sometimes claw, bite, and scratch your way toward the mark. You're going to need to fight, church, with everything that you've got in you for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Church, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It may cost you something. It may cause you to have to give up some stuff in order for you to be fit for the fight. You might need to sacrifice maybe a few more minutes for prayer and Bible study. Hallelujah. Maybe you're going to have to give up and let go of your friends' approvals. So-called friends. Maybe you're going to need to let go of your plans. Maybe you're going to need to let go of your own pleasures. But whatever it is, church, whatever it is that you let go of, I'm telling you, it's worth it.
Amen.
It is worth it all.
Amen.
So that we might win Christ. It's worth the let go, church. It's worth the separation. It's worth the breakup. And it's worth the disconnection. Because now the chains and shackles have been broken. Strongholds have been torn down. Yokes have been destroyed. And you have been set free to be all that God has created you to be.
Amen.
When you let go.
Yeah.
Church, I believe with all my heart that God is wanting to do great things in and through each and every one of us.
Yes.
He has such great plans for our lives. Amen. There is a calling on each and every one of us seated here in this sanctuary.
Amen.
He's looking to take us to greater heights and deeper depths. He's calling us to be used in a greater way and in a greater arena. And He's just calling us to be greater.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I believe that He's getting ready to do a new thing in the church today.
Yes.
I'm believing that He's getting ready to do a new thing. I'm believing that He's ready to take us to the next level. Be careful. New levels means new devils. That's why you gotta be fit for the fight, church. That's why your hands cannot be full holding on to all this unnecessary weight and all these things, because if your hands too full, you cannot pick up your sword and fight. Hallelujah. But He wants to take us to the next level, church. But He can't do it if you won't let go of your past, which is keeping you anchored in your present, preventing you from attaining your future in Christ Jesus. Church, I'll say this in closing. You cannot embrace the future while holding on to your past. You cannot embrace the spirit while holding on to the flesh. You cannot embrace heavenly blessings while holding on to hellish curses. Church, I don't know who this message is for this morning. Maybe it's just me. I don't know if this message has affected you in any way. But whatever it is that you feel in your heart, if that's you, that you need to let go of something, someone, let it go. Let it go, church. I'm telling you, it's so, so worth it. You'll feel this weight just get lifted off your shoulders. Feel light as a feather. And suddenly now able to move. Wow, I feel comfortable now. I'm at peace now. I'm happy now. I've got joy now. All because you let it go. In Jesus' name. Amen.